Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Those of us who live in the United States, we live in a land that has been so bountifully blessed. We take so many of our blessings for granted. We probably fail to realize how many people have sacrificed so much to enable us to live in the good land in which we live. And we are proud to be citizens of this country. And we are proud to be Christians. And what does the Bible teach about our relationship and our duty to our nation, as Christians, to the nation in which we live? Now, while we know that the faith of Christ causes us to look toward the afterlife, it causes us to look toward heaven. That's our eventual goal. That's the purpose for which we conduct our lives. But the religion of Jesus Christ also governs how we live in this life. The religion of Christ deals with matters of life, even our citizenship in an earthly kingdom, an earthly government, a country even such as ours. Now, as we go back into the Old Testament, under the Mosaic system, and under the laws under which Israel lived, there was what, well, we would probably call it in the terminology of today, a union of church and state. And I simply mean by that, the law of Moses regulated almost everything. It regulated their spiritual life. It regulated their civil duties and responsibilities. It regulated matters of the home, their domestic matters. Of course, it included their religious services as well. But the civil duties and the privileges that they had as Israelites in the nation of Israel. And the law of Moses, it governed their personal matters and their relationships with other people. Now, Christ recognized, however, that there is a distinction between church and state, as we call it today. For instance, in Matthew chapter 22, when some came and asked him whether it was right to give tribute unto Caesar or not, he answered, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." So there is a difference between civil government and our service to God as Christian people and His children religiously. We sustain different relationships toward the government than we do toward God. Now, they are separate one from the other. Although all things are to be governed ultimately by our duty to God, first and foremost. You see, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, of which we are citizens, it's not an earthly kingdom. It's not like the governments of this world. His is a spiritual kingdom. When Jesus was before Pontius Pilate, he affirmed, and it's recorded in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world." You see, friend, there are two kinds of kingdoms, one earthly and the other spiritual. And they're not the same, and they're not united. They're separate one from the other. They're distinctive one from the other. And we're citizens, as Christians, citizens of both. Now, let's understand something that a lot of people fail to realize. The civil government is ordained of God. God, of course, has ordained the home and the church, but the civil government also. In Romans chapter 13, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth God. They that resisteth shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Now the Apostle Paul says a whole lot here about our relationship to our civil government. Now, God has not ordained any one particular kind of civil government, whether it be a dictatorship or a democracy or a republic such as our nation is supposed to have, but he has ordained that there be regulatory forces over society, and without which there couldn't exist a civilized society. Obviously, God is more pleased with a system of government that would be favorable to his spiritual kingdom than one that would suppress it and be antagonistic toward it. This is one of the concerns that Christians have about the United States government of late. There be those in power and those who aspire to power who wish to suppress religion, suppress belief in God, suppress Christianity, and take away our religious freedom that we enjoy. But there's another divinely ordained government, and that's the Lord's church. That's his spiritual kingdom. Now, that's different from the civil government. In Matthew 16:16-19, it shows how that the Lord uses the term church and kingdom interchangeably. He said he would build his church, and he would give the apostles the keys of the kingdom. So those in the church have been delivered, Paul said, from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, Colossians 1:13. Now, this spiritual kingdom is regulated by the spiritual laws of the New Testament. The spiritual kingdom is not regulated by laws that man has created. It has a spiritual mission, and that is to glorify God. It is to save souls from sin. It's to be the pillar and the ground of God's spiritual truth. This kingdom, the church, is to conduct a spiritual warfare against all the forces of spiritual wickedness, and it does this with spiritual weaponry. It spreads its borders and defends itself by what Paul defined as the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17. The spiritual kingdom does not advance itself with carnal warfare, like has been done in time past among some religionists, but not with God's favor. The spiritual kingdom seeks to convert the heart and the mind of people, and thereby the life of human beings into the service of man's creator and judge. Other weaponry that is used is the truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation. Ephesians 6 tells us of these weapons. Now, the civil government, it's different in nature and purpose and the means of operation than from the spiritual kingdom. It's different of the laws under which it operates from the spiritual kingdom. Now, this is one of the problems that many people make. It's an oft-committed error to take the laws that apply to one and impose them upon the other. Some try to take the laws that God has given that governs his spiritual kingdom and make them apply to the earthly kingdom. Well, the same thing can be said with regard to the home. You see, these three divine institutions, the home, the civil government, and the church, they're not exactly the same. Now, some of their duties and privileges may overlap at times, but they're not equated. but each has a distinctive purpose, and each has a distinctive operation. Now, the Sermon on the Mount, that's the law of the spiritual kingdom. It can't be used as a standard and criteria for the conduct of civil government. Civil government has the right to use physical force, for instance, to enforce its authority, to defend itself, and to protect its existence. But that's not so concerning the church. Civil government has the right to wield the sword, an instrument of death, and to carry out what we even call capital punishment, but not so with the home or with the church. John 18:36 shows not only a different nature of the kingdoms, but the approved right of civil government to use force. And that which the civil government is ordained to do is morally right before God. Friend, God has never ordained or approved anything that's immoral. So the idea that some mistakenly hold that all government is evil, that's a false doctrine, that's a false idea. Those attending to the proper functions of government are doing what God will, wants to be done. Of course, the government is supposed to do the things God wants to give civil government to do. But the state is out of place if it invades the spiritual realm, just like the church is out of place if it attempts to regulate civil government. Now, these two divinely appointed kingdoms have their divinely appointed work, their divinely appointed purpose, their methods of operation, and they're not the same, and we should not try to operate the same. Too often, neither the government nor the church is attending to the business that God has appointed them to do. But the Christian is a citizen of both kingdoms. Paul was a Christian, but he was also a Roman. The dual citizenship contains, and listen to this now, a potential conflict. Not necessarily so, but it's potentially there. In many nations, the laws of men has made it very difficult for Christians. But the Christian has duties to both governments, receiving benefits from both governments. He is also allowed privileges from both governments. And regarding civil government, there are some things that, of course, we must do. As Paul has stated, we are to obey the higher powers. We are to obey the laws of the land. But there are some things that we may do, but there are some things that the government will allow that the Christian is not permitted to do. Now, some things that the government will allow are sinful in the sight of God, and the drinking of alcoholic beverages, multi-marriages, homosexuality, all kind of things that the government sometimes will allow, the Christian cannot do. But the Christian still has a responsibility to the civil government, and he must obey the laws of the civil government until and unless they cause him to violate the laws of Almighty God. Now, that's where his limit comes. The Christian has duties, and we're going to talk about some of these duties in our next lesson. But let's always keep in mind, the laws of God are superior to all laws of men, and the laws of God must be obeyed even if it puts us in conflict with the laws of men and the government of men. Well, we want you to understand the Christian's duty to the civil government. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time, Jim Boyd.